Fear not. We are the penicillin to your burning questions, answering viewer and listener questioners tonight on the Dynasty Rewind, starting now.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the Professor Christian. Nate, hello again.
Hello, Michael Bauer. Hi. It is Senior Bowl week.
Yes.
And I'm getting hype. I'm getting hype because we're learning more about these prospects. We've already spent a lot of time on the back end talking about, looking into, watching film on, and it's time for us to get to see these guys against each other, see them in a new environment, see how quickly they learn, get to hear more of what the NFL thinks about them. That's always really, really important. And we just continue to get further and further into draft season. I am hype.
Yeah. I got to say, and I don't want to speak for everybody here on this podcast, I am personally more excited for the Senior Bowl than the Super Bowl.
All right.
I don't know about you, just because really wanted the Lions to get there.
I know.
And I wanted the Ravens to get there as
well. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't hate the Ravens. For whatever reason, a lot of Eagles fans hate the Ravens. And I don't get that.
I haven't really experienced that in real life, you know.
My dad hates the Ravens, but for all I know, because for him, somebody could have given him a dirty look in Baltimore one time.
Yeah.
And well, now he just hates everything about the city.
I don't think your dad in Baltimore would mesh well anyway. So
no. I don't think my dad and anyone mesh very well, to be honest with you. But that's okay. That's a question for another time, because your questions are what we have right now. So we did put out some feelers, and we really had to probe you guys. But we got some questions from you guys, from either YouTube viewers or on our Discord. And if you want to hop in the Discord, free 7-day trial, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. And of course, don't forget, you can also sign up for a year if you want. If you sign up for a full year, we do give you a 10% discount. So whatever tier you get, it's essentially getting a month for free. That month is on us. Our DMs are open when you're in our Patreon, because we love you just a little bit more. Real there, but we do have a bunch of questions. There were two that were close, so I hope you guys don't mind. I just combined them so I could kill two birds with one stone. But Nate, we're gonna kick it off with you. Let's see, where am I on the show sheet? That's a really good question. All right, well, Nate, we're gonna kick it off with you.
Keep scrolling down. Okay, thank you.
I'll find it. There it is.
All right, so the question that I chose is, who is or who can go at the 108 in Superflex rookie drafts this year? And this question came from Slade by Gaming from YouTube. This is a great question. So how many players can go at the 108 this year in a Superflex draft? Mike, 12 players currently are possibilities, are candidates for the 108. I believe that there are 12 candidates for that.
Where did you get this information from? Is this something you thought of, or were you looking at mocks? Or
this is what I've been watching. This is a talent evaluation as well, expected draft capital through the NFL, and I'm going to give you the reason why there are 12 players that are candidates to be the pick at the 108 right now. And why did I pick this question? Who do we care about one specific spot in the draft? Well, we all kind of believe there's a top seven right now in rookie drafts. There is the top three quarterbacks, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. And then there's the wide receivers. There's Marvin Harrison. There's Malik Nabers. There's Roma Dunze. And we got Brock Bowers. That's the top seven. That is set in stone, it seems like, at this point. So once we get to eight, the board really opens up. Just how much does it open up? There are 12 players. There are three quarterbacks, I think, that could go at the 108. It could be Bo Nix. It could be Michael Penix Jr. It could be J.J. McCarthy. All depending on draft capital, all depending on the situation that they land in. If, you know, if the three of them get first round draft capital, they have a chance to be at the 108. You know, any of them with first round draft capital on a team that's really invested into them, there's a chance they go at the 108, any of your leagues where it's super flex. At the running back position, we got four players I think are candidates for the 108. Jonathan Brooks, Bucky Irvin, Blake Corum, and Trey Benson, I think, are four running backs that I could see going at the 108 right now, possibly, depending on draft capital and landing spot. Let's say they got second-round draft capital. They're the first running backs off the board, any one of these four guys. And potential landing spots, like Dan Brugler from The Athletic actually had Jonathan Brooks going to the Dallas Cowboys in the second round in his latest NFL mock draft.
Good spot.
If Jonathan Brooks goes to the Cowboys in the second round, there's a chance he's at the 108 for you.
I don't think so. He's still got to beat out Rico Dowdle.
Hey, Rico's a free agent. We'll see if they bring him back. They better, though.
I think they do. I think he's a very good
best running back on the team this year.
Hey, he was.
Come on, Rico, my boy.
It's funny, though, and I'll let you get back to it. I'm sorry. If you look at Tony Pollard's season between 23 and 22, they're almost mirror seasons. The difference was he was the guy this past year.
Yeah.
We expected more, but by all means, please continue.
So Jonathan Brooks of the Cowboys, we could see that being the 108. Irving, you know, he's a guy that's going to catch a lot of passes. So if he goes to a, you know, high octane offense, I think he's someone that we could see at the 108 as well. Say he goes to like the Bengals, you know, maybe a step behind Joe Mixon for a little bit. But Bucky Irving, a guy who's caught, you know, over 100 passes over in his college career, going to a team like the Bengals or another, you know, high octane offense that's going to throw to the running back a lot, there's a chance he's at the 108 in your rookie drafts. Blake Corum, hey, Jim Harbaugh is the NFL head coach now. If Blake Corum goes to the Chargers in the second round, there's going to be a lot of people who are very excited to pick him up at the 108.
I would love that spot, honestly.
Yeah. Jim loves to run the football. That would be a great spot for Corum, obviously. Yeah. And then Trey Benson, who a lot of people do have as their RB1 this year. You know, if he goes to a place like Houston, where they're going to be able to just feed him the ball, you know, I think a place like that would really raise his draft stock, would make him a possible candidate for the 108 as well. You know, we don't see a lot of running backs in our mock draft so far, but once the NFL draft sorts that out, we're going to see running backs in the first round. I expect to see two or three in the first round, because when the clock is going down, you need a running back for your team. Everyone needs running back. You know, the positional scarcity is it's going to cause running backs to be in the first round. And then, Mike, finishing out this top 12 players, five wide receivers, I think, are candidates to be picked at the 108. Brian Thomas Jr., Troy Franklin, Devontae Walker, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. All those guys have the chance to be first-round picks. Any of them that get first-round draft capital could be at the 108. And I would like to throw in a wild card, an honorable mention as a 13th player that could be a candidate for the 108, Mike. And he's having a really strong start to the Senior Bowl. That's Ladd McConkey. You get ready. People are going to fall in love with Ladd McConkey. I've been talking about him for a couple weeks now here on the channel, and it's just going to get more and more exciting for him.
Yeah, and I started watching some film on Ladd McConkey, and I like what I see as well.
Really good route runner, man.
I feel like he's probably going to be a slot wide receiver in the NFL, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think he could be very effective. People are comping him to Hunter Renfro. I think he's a little bit more physical than Hunter Renfro is.
A little bit bigger.
I understand the comp. I don't necessarily agree with it. So this
question was a comp I saw today I liked.
I like that comp a lot better. Just want to say the only one I don't agree with on your list, and this is the Bucky Irving to the Bengals. I don't think the Bengals are going to draft him. So what about Chase Brown, baby?
I know I was thinking about that, but let's be honest. As much as I love Chase Brown, if you get a chance to – Chase Brown's a good running back, but he's not one that's going to stop you from picking up a running back you fall in love with.
True. Let's get to my question here. This is Andrew Jenner from YouTube. Who are some third and fourth round sleepers I should consider drafting? Now, I do want to just say we did put a sleeper video out a little bit ago. Go back and watch that. But sleepers are going to change between now and when they're actually drafted. So this is subject to change. These are guys that right now I see as sleepers. One is Tennessee running back Jalen Wright. We have Western Kentucky wide receiver Malachi Corley. We have UCLA running back Carson Steele. We have Washington running back Dylan Johnson. Still going to be a sleeper, although he shouldn't be. We have here's a real sleeper for you. We want to talk about fourth round, maybe even a fifth round guy. That is Troy running back Kamani Vidal. Yeah. Look at Kamani's stats. Also, another reason to join the Patreon, he was a multiple small school big player of the week winner. Spencer Rattler. And I know that might sound odd, but I think he's going to get drafted. I think he's going to be a backup. And we've seen how the quarterback situations go. It goes, but this past year, everyone that started, he could be pressed into starting action. And for that reference, Sam Hartman. My comp for Sam Hartman is Kirk Cousins. I could see Sam Hartman being a later round draft pick, taking over for somebody and being good enough to win the job.
Yeah.
He's not bad. He really isn't. And
he's a solid quarterback.
He's solid. I don't think athletically he's the most gifted quarterback, but he's a veteran guy. He's been in school for 6 years, and he knows how to run an offense. He knows how to make smart throws. Actually, decently athletic enough where he can get out of trouble, but he's never really going to be a supposed running threat. And my last one is Louisville wide receiver Jamari Thrash, who I like a lot.
He's looking pretty good. I think he's at the Senior Bowl. So
he might not be a sleeper for long, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, Mike, if you don't mind me throwing a couple sleepers in as well.
Please.
You know, some of the guys I would like to mention, Roman Wilson, who's having a really good start to the Senior Bowl as well. You know, when this video comes out, it might seem like he's not much of a sleeper anymore because of the hype at the Senior Bowl. But believe me, by the time we get through the combine, free agency, all those things, while Roman Wilson will have more hype than he had before, he will be forgotten about a little bit with the rest of wide receivers in this draft class. So Roman Wilson, a nice little sleeper there. Ricky Pearsall, who's also at the Senior Bowl and from Florida. Someone I mentioned on the live stream we had last weekend as a sleeper. And then at the running back position, someone I've been on for a while, Mike, and you know this, so I'm going to name him as my deep sleeper. Maybe you don't have to even draft him. George Helani out of Boise State.
I forgot about George Helani.
Yeah. He's here.
Well, then I got to add Noah Kane in there too. For talking about him. I'm just kidding.
Deep sleepers.
Do not draft Noah Kane. He won't be playing in the NFL. He might not be playing in any league that ends in FL. unless it's a fantasy football league that he's not in. Anyway, Nate, what is your next question?
All right, the next question I got is from King D from our Patreon Discord community group chat. King D is in some of our Rewind leagues. He one of our favorite. You know, he's a Goldie, so he's special. You know, they're special people.
Yes.
Well, he said, you know, who are some players we believe are very much landing spot dependent as well as landing spot proof? So looking at this from both sides, you know, which players are we a little bit more worried about where they go? And that's going to kind of affect how we value them fantasy wise. While there's other players that, hey, I don't really care where they go. I know how I feel about them. I know what I expect from them. So just because someone's maybe not so landing spot proof, they're a bit more landing spot dependent, doesn't mean they're a bad wide receiver, running back or whatever. Doesn't mean they're a bad player. It just might mean that we need to be a little bit more mindful of the situation because of how it might lean it towards fantasy football production. Because remember, we play a game based on stats. We play a game based on box scores. It doesn't matter how talented or not talented a player is. It matters that they get stats, basically. So with that in mind, some landing spot dependent players. Now, the first one that comes to mind for me is Keon Coleman. And that's because I think Keon Coleman just has question marks about his transition to the NFL and if he'll be able to do it quickly. You know, something we saw with Quentin Johnson this year, it wasn't a very quick transition to the NFL. And that's not really a big problem until recently when we've had this expectation for wide receivers, especially rookies, to take off right away. And we've seen it a lot. And that's why we have this expectation now. But for many years, it would take wide receivers 3 years to really break out and come around. So with Keon Coleman's lack of consistent separation, I worry about the consistency of his hands, even though he makes some really great highlight catches. And just the fact that, you know, he's a two-sport athlete who didn't fully focus on football until just the past 2 years. So he's just a little bit more raw than some of the other wide receivers in this draft class. So he's one that's going to be a bit more landing spot dependent for me. You know, I would actually like to see him. You know, I talked about this with Quentin Johnson, actually. I hate to make the comparison between the two, but it comes up quite regularly. I think Keon Coleman, they're going to put him outside, expect him to be an X-alpha wide receiver. And I would actually like to see him be a big slot receiver. I think we can see a lot of success from some of these guys who have the athleticism, have the, you know, the catchability, but maybe just lack the technique of a wide receiver in their route running and things like that. Start him out in the slot, let him get used to the position there, then move him outside. I would like to see NFL coaches start to do that with these players like Keon Coleman, who kind of present that way. And then two wide receivers that kind of fit the same mold for why they're landing spot dependent, Xavier Worthy and Devontae Walker. Both players who are very speedy, can be used down the field as deep threats. They're also more versatile than that. So this is where it comes into, I'm not worried about the players necessarily, but if they get shoved into a role where they are the deep threats for a team, that affects how they are used fantasy football wise. You know, I want players with high volume. I'm always chasing high volume wide receivers, and players who are kind of pigeonholed into a down the field threat to stretch the defense, open up the defense for other players. They don't always, you know, give us the stats that we want in a week in, week out basis for fantasy football. You know, guys like Gabe Davis, they have the huge games, but they also have multiple games with zeros or under 5 points, and that just kills you on a week. You know, so while I think Xavier Worthy and DeVontez Walker are much more talented than a player like Gabe Davis or, you know, players we've seen before like Will Fuller, who've been disappointing, if they get stuck into those kind of roles, you might have a similar disappointment with those players. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And then one more with a running back, Blake Corum, Mike. Blake Corum, he struggles to create his own yards, especially this year coming off of the knee injury he suffered in 2022. We don't know the extent of that injury. We do know it takes a while for running backs to come back from an ACL injury. The first year is usually not as efficient. So he could turn around in his second year off the knee injury, you know, looked like he did before the knee injury. But based on what we saw this year, he's struggled to create his own yards, create yards after contact, and make people miss. So with that in mind, if he goes to a place where there's not a really strong offensive line, I would worry about his ability to create own yards, create explosive plays on his own. And that would, you know, probably drop him down in rankings for me. So those are my landing spot dependent players, Mike. I also have just a real quick landing spot proof players. I think this one's a little bit harder. But
can I say one thing? I the thing that bums me out about Keon Coleman, I really think he should have went back for a senior year. They have DJU coming in to play quarterback at FSU. He had a down year compared to his last year at Michigan State, where, by the way, he had a more productive season than Jaden Reed, who was in his final year at Michigan State. So the talent is there. I just wish he would have came back, used that final year of well, technically you have more now. Really wish he would have went back. I think he could have really risen up the ranks for next season. But here we are. Give me your landing spot proof players.
Landing spot proof players. We just have a couple wide receivers here who I think are just so pro ready that it doesn't matter where they go, they're going to get involved quickly and they're going to be used. And that's the obvious Marvin Harrison Jr. That's the Malik Nabers. That's Romo Dunze. And I'm throwing Troy Franklin in there.
Yeah.
You know, he's not one of those top three wide receivers, but I think his skill set, you know, fits in any team. He might lack the upside of some of these other players. Like, I really like Brian Thomas Jr. You know, some people like Keon Coleman, some people like, you know, DeVontez Walker, Xavier Worthy, and the upside that those players bring. I don't know if Troy Franklin brings quite that upside, but he is just such a pro ready, such a solid wide receiver that I feel I could put in any offense as my wide receiver too and operate just fine. So with that in mind, I think he's pretty landing spot proof as well.
All right, perfect. And with that in mind, please hang out as we take a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. So now is my time to combine two questions. You can't do that. Yeah, I can. I'm the host. I can do whatever I want. So these two questions are, we got from Blake. He's from our Patreon, and Mark Zeller from YouTube. Blake says, how should we value running backs in this class? And Mark says, if I have no picks to trade with or draft with in 2024, would the second round be ideal to trade into to pick up some of the running backs in this class? Also, how does this class compare to 2023? So, Nate, if you and I could tackle the 2023 comp, there is no comparison, really. And again, I think the narrative is the reason why everyone's saying that this class is bad at running back is because we don't have the generational talents like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we are all dynasty fantasy football players and we preach patience to all of our listeners and viewers as content creators, we are the least patient people on the freaking planet because we want our players to be good and we want it to happen right freaking now.
Yep.
We want to know who the running back one is. We want to actually know who the wide receiver one is. And we have to wait until the draft. Well, we know who the wide receiver one is. We have to wait until the draft to know who the running back one is. And it is freaking people out. That doesn't mean this class is bad. It means we just have to show a little patience. We have to practice what we preach and go from there. The key word here, gentlemen, is value, because that is what we are seeing running backs from this year becoming. I've only seen one running back go in round one of Superflex mock drafts, and that's Jonathan Brooks. And more go in one quarterback, although a little bit later. Got to wait until we see how the draft shakes out. There's no generational guys like Bijan, like Jahmyr Gibbs. If Jahmyr Gibbs was in this draft class, it would be a slam dunk. He's our running back one. I think we could safely say that, right?
Yeah.
You'd put him over anybody in this class?
Yeah.
Had Travion Henderson declared, I think we could also agree there's your running back one for the class.
Yeah, probably.
And if Devin Neal had declared, there'd be some people putting him up there.
Yeah, probably.
And if Ben Jurecek was in this class, I'd be loving it. But anyway, people are devaluing this position overall. And I think it's lunacy, Nate. I've been quite vocal about that.
Lunacy.
So I think for Superflex, the early to mid second round is good. Mark, if you want to trade up into there, if you can, you could probably still find some good value in the late second round as well. There's going to be some sleeper candidates in the third and fourth round, like I touched on in a question above. And with the way the NFL has been going, I am completely shifting. My apologies. I'm completely shifting how I approach rookie drafts. My third and fourth rounds, I'm really going to focus in on running backs and quarterbacks, especially in super flex leagues, because we've just seen how the league chews these guys up. Late first, early second for a one quarterback league, that's probably where you're going to be seeing your running backs go. And to answer Mark's question, yes, I think the second round is ideal. Try to get a running back for Benson, anybody.
Yeah, he'll be available probably.
Blake Corum, he's going to be up there. Bucky Irving's probably not going to be. He might be like early second.
But there's going to be in the league. It's a very flavor based running back class. Which flavor do you like?
Yeah, it is. And of course, we want to pick guys that we think have the best path to being as productive as possible right away. And this is the one position that once they're in the NFL, we don't have to preach patience as much because the shelf life is so short. It's not like wide receivers where you could legitimately draft, take Mike Evans. You could have drafted him when he was a rookie, just put him in your starting lineup, and you get to just leave him there until he calls it a career. But that's what we're looking at for the running backs. I hope that answered it well for you guys. And Nate, do you have anything to add to that before you move on to your last question?
Nope. I'm ready to move on to my last question that comes to us from Bommel from YouTube. And they asked, what will the 2025 and 2026 class look like in terms of positional strengths and weaknesses? How does this impact our draft strategy in this year's draft, and should it? All right. Well, I'm going to answer the second question first, actually. Does this impact our draft strategy, and should it? Yes, it does, a little bit. So if you are a rebuilding team, that's when it's going to really affect your draft strategy, because that's when you're investing in future years. If you're a competitive team, you're mostly focused on this year's draft and probably more importantly, what kind of team you're putting together for 2024. But if you're a rebuilding team and your timeline looks more so like 2025 is your year to compete, 2026 is your year to compete, hopefully it's not 2027, but sometimes you get stuck with a team that, you know, is in that bad of a shape, then it's going to affect how you're going to build your team. And it can only affect so much because at the end of the day, we don't really know everything that's going to happen with these players. Sometimes you have players you expect to do great that fall off a cliff the next year, and some players, you know, come out of nowhere, and a strength becomes a weakness, weakness becomes a strength in a class. But I can tell you one thing, you know, people are worried about running backs this year. They should not be worried about running backs next year. We have what could be considered a generational class coming out next year. I know everyone's tired of hearing stuff like that. Oh, generational. There's just a lot of really good players in next year's draft at the running back position. And partly because some of the players that we were really looking forward to this year went back another year. Now, next year at this time, when a couple of players from the 2025 class have gone back to college and are going to now be in the 2026 class, this 2025 class at running back position won't look quite as strong, but it'll still look a lot stronger, I think, than this year. And I think it'll be comparable to some of the years past where we've been really excited about the running back position. So looking at 2025, because, you know, with the running backs, say you're in that rebuild, maybe you don't invest in the running backs this year because the running backs don't fit your timeline. They're not super strong. So take the value at the running wide receiver position where the strength is in this class. Take it at quarterback. And then next year, fill up on running backs when there's going to be more of them available, more of that you can choose from that are going to be productive. So, you know, looking forward, we want to kind of fit the strengths of each draft class in with how we're going to build our team. Hey, running backs, you always know, are kind of the last position to address in a rebuild because they have the shortest shelf life. So that's how we're going to kind of take into account. But you can only do so much moving forward because it's hard to project. You don't all have a crystal ball for these college players. But let's take a look. At 2025, the quarterback draft class, not the strongest for 2025. We don't really have a quarterback one at this point. Some people say Shedeur Sanders. Some other people might say Carson Beck. At one point, there was hope for Drew Allar, but You know, while he had a pretty good season, he hasn't really convinced us that he's a top NFL draft prospect.
Needs wide receivers over there.
Does need some wide receivers. At running back, hey, I talked about the 2025 draft class. Running back's really, really strong. We got the backfield of Penn State of Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen, both really good running backs. We got another backfield pairing of Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson at Ohio State. So we have four really good running backs there. Then you add in Devin Neal, who went back from this class, Trevor Etienne from Florida, who just transferred to Georgia, Etienne's younger brother, Ollie Gordon, who was in the Heisman voting this year, Oklahoma State. Really good running backs there, and there's plenty more I could mention. So definitely a strength for next year's class there. At wide receiver, we got another good class coming in. Luther Burden from Missouri, someone I'm really excited about. Evan Stewart, who transferred to Oregon, he's really exciting as well. Tatoria McMillan over at Arizona. Some people are comparing to be the next Mike Evans, with his big body, contested catchability, but still able to separate and be the all-around wide receiver. And then, of course, Emeka Egbuka, who went back this year from Ohio State. He's going back for another year, kind of have that Chris Olave kind of feel to him as that Ohio State wide receiver going back for his senior year just to come out and be a first rounder. At tight end for the 2026 class, no one too strong at the moment except for Benjamin Urosek, Mike. Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, I believe, from LSU. Okay. Luke Lakey as well, another tight end that we like that went back this year because he had an injury-filled season. So that's the 2025 class. Really, the strength is the running back position, then the wide receiver position. Quarterback, tight end, not so strong at the moment. Looking forward to 2026, Mike. Quarterback, it's hard to project that far out with quarterbacks. We do have someone that we really like, Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, Archie Manning, of course, at Texas, Nico Lamaliva probably mispronounced that last name, at Tennessee. So there's some quarterback prospects we like, but we haven't really got to see a ton of them yet. Not a lot of freshmen got to play this year at the quarterback position, so we'll get to see more about that this upcoming season. At running back, though, we do have some really fun guys. Texas has another running back, Mike, CJ Baxter, and you got to watch a little bit of him, I believe, and you like what you've seen. I like what I've seen. He looks like he's already ready for the NFL. He just finished his freshman year.
Look him out right now. He's good to go.
Yep, he might even be the RB1 in this class. Who knows? Justice Haynes out of Alabama. Look, they got another one as well. They've highly recruited. So two running backs there to mention. At wide receiver, this is probably the strongest point for the 2026 class at this point. And we're seeing it with college where wide receivers are just breaking out earlier than any other position like we're seeing in the NFL. And wide receiver, we definitely saw it this year. Jontae Cook out of Texas, another speedy wide receiver who can make a difference on kick returns, just be versatile all around. Love what I saw out of him. Carnell Tate, next man up at Ohio State. Zachariah Branch, another really, really exciting playmaker at USC. And Eugene Wilson, a slot receiver out of Florida who performed really, really well his freshman season. So wide receiver is probably the strongest part of the 26 class. And then finishing this all out with the tight ends. Some of the younger tight ends we've seen, we haven't seen a ton of them yet, but hey, we know that colleges, while we don't helmet scout, there are some colleges that just put out better prospects to certain positions than other colleges. And Georgia continues to do it with tight end. They have Lawson Lucky and Pierce Sperling, both really highly recruited out of high school and in their tight end room right now. So one of those guys I do expect to probably be an NFL prospect that we're going to be talking about. Andrew Rapielye, something like that. You might want to pronounce that because you're from Penn State. He's over at Penn State. We know they continue to put out tight ends. And of course, this is the guy that we did get to see this year, but he is labeled a wide receiver currently. He might stay that way. He might move back to tight end. Who knows? Deuce Robinson out of USC, 6'6", 225 pounds right now. Whichever position he plays in the NFL, he's going to be really, really good. So excited to see what he does.
I do have one player to add to this for the 2026 class, and that is Omarion Hampton, running back for the University of North Carolina. I just really took note to him when I was watching Tez Walker and Drake May and Bryson Nesbitt as well. I might as well scout him. He's on the list. I was there. He was mid, as they say. But Omarion Hampton, really physical runner, good receiving back as well. That's all I have to add to that. My last question, and this is Blake from Patreon. He wants to know, what is the gap between Brock Bowers and JT Sanders? Is it worth pivoting off of Bowers in the first to trade out or target a wide receiver and target Sanders later in the draft? I understand the logic there. Yeah. Sometimes the consolation prize isn't much of a consolation prize because it's really good. I believe Sam Laporta was a consolation prize, was he not?
For many.
He was not the tight end one. Who was the tight end one, Nate? Do you remember?
Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid. And we still like Dalton Kincaid, but Sam Laporta, man, freaking awesome. I think it's fairly wide at the moment, and I think it could be as wide as one whole round, depending, unless it's tight end premium.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see Bowers going in the high to mid first. Jatavion Sanders looking more like a second round pick at this point because people are underwhelmed by the tight end class. I'm underwhelmed by the tight end class, and you all know how much it pains me to say that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate targeting a wide receiver instead of, you know, Brock Bowers and pivoting back. This wide receiver class is better than the tight end class for now until the Senior Bowl happens. Tight ends at the Senior Bowl get drafted. Okay.
True.
If you need a tight end, I'd also like to trade for one that's already in the league. If you desperately need one, there's going to be guys that you could get. Look for the next Jake Ferguson, the guy who's just about to pop. That's what I would do. For me, that's Michael Mayer. I do think his time is coming soon. Okay.
Yep.
Or a projected later tight end, guy like Cade Stover, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. That's what I would do. So I do think the gap is wide like you think. I think there's going to be some good late round guys that you could target as well. Like I said, Stover and Sinnott. And there's a Brevin Span Ford. Is that the guy's name? Theo Johnson is out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson Nesbitt, I think, could end up being a good NFL tight end. I don't know how great he's going to be for fantasy necessarily, but yeah, there are going
to
be some guys.
Also, I think, sorry to ruin your day, but I think Nesbitt actually went back. If you see on the sheet, he's actually not checked off for declare. I believe he went back, unfortunately. It came out like really late that he went back.
So you're telling me
that I'm telling you.
All that time.
All that time.
I would love to get a confirmation on that. So if you have that confirmation for me, please, I'll text Brandon Lejeune. He'll know.
He'll know.
He knows all that stuff. So, Nate, do you have anything else to add before we head out?
I have nothing else because I don't know for sure about Bryson Nesbitt. It looks like he's popping in some. He's popping in and out some. We'll see.
Fantastic. Well, if he is coming out, then pay attention to everything I said. If not, please, by all means, ignore it. Keep you updated. So
play this again next year.
Exactly. So until next time, everybody, for Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. Thinking about which rookies to target in your fantasy football draft? Look no further than the NFL Mock Draft Database. We are your home for all things NFL mock drafts by sourcing experts and analysts from all over the internet. NFL Mock Draft Database also offers users an ever-changing consensus player rankings to keep you informed on the incoming draft class as you build your dynasty team. Think you have what it takes to be a GM in the NFL? Give our free NFL Mock Draft Simulator a spin, which offers many features such as pick trading, historical draft years, and more. Join us at www.nflmockdraftdatabase.com or follow us on X at @mockdrafts. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.